We are indebted to Jenny Carpenter, who has chosen this week's readings, and who now provides us with this reflection upon them. So Naomi returned together with Ruth, the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, who came with her from the country of Moab. They came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. Bethlehem translates as house of bread. In the powerful book of Ruth, it justifies its name. Naomi, her husband Elimelech, and their two sons had moved to the neighboring country of Moab because of a local famine. But now, some years later, Naomi, desperately homesick, and seeing no future for an aging woman on her own in Moab, has returned. Her only hope for the family's future resides in Ruth, as Naomi is now past childbearing age. This is a story of female love and loyalty between two gutsy women, one of whom is a foreigner, and the mixture of admiration and pity that their plight evokes in a male relative, who is prepared to go to considerable lengths to secure the happy ending. Ruth's grandson, David, will become the celebrated King of Israel, and Ruth is cited by the Gospel writers as an ancestor of Jesus himself. Do read the book of Ruth for yourself. It's only 4 chapters long. The barley harvest is pivotal. The Mosaic law requires that when you reap your harvest, you leave some grain in the corners of the field. Anything missed from the sheaves is to be gleaned by the poor and the alien. Ruth makes the most of this opportunity. Boaz is concerned not only that she gleans enough for herself and Naomi, but also that she is not harassed by the workmen and, moreover, is entitled to a lunch break. This story is an indictment of many current agricultural practices, notions of land ownership, working conditions, and employment insecurity. Not least it challenges our own attitudes toward foreigners who arrive in our own country, wanting to work for themselves and their families, but who are then prevented from doing so, until and unless their applications for asylum are granted. The second part of Psalm 65 exalts in the fruitfulness of the earth. It's all about the efficacy of rain and rivers. The psalmist recognizes that human beings depend upon reliable weather patterns, and praises God for them. Again, an indictment of our intensive agriculture. Overgrazing, excessive use of fertilizers, and the clearing of forests have contributed hugely to climate change and loss of biodiversity. Jesus, in John chapter 6, claims, "I am the bread of life." Bread, whether made from barley or wheat flour, was the national staple food then, and grain of one kind or another is still a basic part of most people's diet today. When we feed on him in our hearts by faith and with thanksgiving, we are gaining essential spiritual nourishment. But we can feed on Christ in numerous ways. Not only when we gather together as a congregation at a service of Holy Communion. According to John, Jesus goes on to say, "Anyone who comes to me I will never drive away." There are echoes here of the welcome and encouragement Boaz gave to Ruth. Wherever bread is shared, readily and joyfully, Christ is there to bless. The couple at M. Mayer's recognized the risen Christ, as invited into their home for supper, bed and breakfast, he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it to share between them. Similarly, others will glimpse Christ when the dignity of being a breadwinners is accorded to them, or when we are able to accept food or gifts graciously from those who have very little to spare. It is so important that people forced by necessity to use food banks are treated with respect, encouraged to give as well as receive, and to share how they have learned to make a little go a long way, and to feed a family on a tight budget. We will all need to develop resilience in the face of COVID-19 and the climate emergency, and adapt our lives accordingly. Paul, in writing to that far-from-perfect church at Corinth, is genuinely distressed at the way they have split into factions and lost sight of the centrality of Christ. They need to get back to basics. To the milk of the gospel. They aren't strong enough in the faith to cope with the rich fare of the finer points of doctrine. He goes on to point out that it is dangerous to ally oneself too closely with a particular minister of the gospel. They are only servants of God after all, with specific but different functions in building up the church. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. There we have it. It is God who enables growth of every kind. Therefore, we offer our thanks and praise to God at this, our virtual, though rooted, harvest festival. This week's anthem is a setting of Nun Dankit Al Gott by Johann Pachelbel, sung by the Wartburg Choir.